Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
It is National EMS Week. Well, it is May 18th to May 24th is National EMS Week. Paul Falavolito is chief of White Oak EMS. They serve White Oak Borough. He's also deputy emergency management coordinator in the borough. And he's the host of the 7-Minute Leadership Podcast, now in its 9th year. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
Good morning. Happy to be back on the show. Thanks for thinking of us for EMS Week.
Well, thank you. First things first, before we get into your agency and your career path, we're in the springtime. Weather is getting warmer, all doesn't feel like it while we're taping this. It's Memorial Day weekend when people are hearing this, so people are going to be in the backyard. They're going to be barbecuing. They're opening their swimming pools. They're maybe setting off fireworks. I know that's for my friends in the fire service. That's their favorite time of year. What kind of injuries and what kind of accidents is your agency prepping for as the weather gets warm?
Well, it's that time of year where, you know, heat-related illness is going to be more than likely the number one thing that we get called out for. And not because it's going to be overly too hot, but because I don't think the public does a great enough job of doing something very basic, and that's hydrating themselves before they decide to go out for a full day, full afternoon of the dreaded yard work that needs done.
Yeah.
And it's something that happens. We see it all too often. And, you know, even big, strong people that never have an issue with dehydration, you know, as we continue to age and get older, these things just kind of creep up on you. And the next thing you know, you're down on one knee, a little bit dizzy, reaching for your cell phone to call 911 because of dehydration. So that's number one. It's also the time of year, specifically this weekend with Memorial Day, and then obviously the 4th of July, which will soon be upon us. Regardless of the safety messages that get put out there, we will still see a handful of fireworks accidents. It's like I said, it's that time of year. We're very good at forecasting those types of things. And so we'll be ready for all that stuff.
It gets humid in Pittsburgh, especially people who didn't grow up here. They don't realize just how muggy, as we call it, gets here. And you can't sweat you cool yourself off through sweating and through evaporation. And when it's so humid, that doesn't happen. You talked about hydration, and my grandmothers, neither of them are with us anymore. But one of them, I can remember her being admonished by her doctor and by, in one case, emergency medical services to hydrate more, because they had to call the ambulance for her. And her response was, well, I drink coffee. I drink iced tea, right? What's wrong with that picture of I drink coffee, I drink iced tea, I drink pop?
Yeah, so, you know, soda, iced tea, coffee, as great as it is, and alcohol, we have to throw that in.
I was going to mention beer, is as wonderful as it tastes.
Yep. So again, in moderation, don't rely on any of those that I just mentioned as your primary source of hydration, because you won't get what your body needs from any of those things, as good and delicious as they are, and as refreshing as iced tea and maybe a cold beer is during a holiday weekend. Don't let that be your primary source of hydration, and you won't have a problem.
Well, they actually dehydrate. Caffeine and alcohol, I think, actually have a dehydrating effect, correct?
Oh, am I correct? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They do. And, you know, again, we see a lot of that this time of year.
How about sunburn? Because I think people are smarter than they used to be about being out in the sun. You know, it used to be like a badge of respect or macho or something, that you got a good sunburn and you were, you know, bright red or you were brown. People realize the long-term risks of skin cancer now. So, you know, we have SPF 50 sunscreens and everything now. But yet we still get sunburn sometimes. I got a little bit red last week, even with sunscreen on. What are some tips people can, because that can send someone to the hospital too. That can result in a call to 911 too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, in my time doing this, the number one thing that I see is I think people that are going to, you know, pack up the kids to go to the pool on a beautiful sunny day where there's no clouds in the sky, or they're going to go out and do yard work. I think they do a great job of putting on the SPF or wearing the, you know, those new sun shirts that have the SPF fabric. However, people forget that even a cloudy, overcast day can still result in a sunburn. People may see that it's cloudy, it's overcast, it's gray. I'm going to go do yard work today. I don't have to put any sunscreen on because I can't see the sun or its rays. It's the UV rays that get you with the sunburn and get people on those days where, you know, that night their arms are on fire, their face is on fire, their head is on fire, and they're bright red like a lobster, and they couldn't see any of the blue sky.
There is nothing worse than getting burned on top of your bald head. Man, that will, if you want to talk about pain, that will remind you of pain. These overcast days, and we get a lot of them in Western Pennsylvania, will get you at this time of year. Paul Falavolito is chief of White Oak EMS. WhiteOakEMS.com is the website. We're going to talk about where the agency serves and what it does. You can also give them a call at 412-672-5433 or find them on Facebook. Before we get into that a little bit, Paul, what was your path into joining the emergency medical service? Whereabouts did you grow up at, first of all?
So I grew up in the South Hills of Pittsburgh in Greentree and started volunteering with Medical Rescue Team South, did a ride along, then went to Community College of Allegheny County to get my EMT certification. I worked in the field for about a year, went directly into paramedic school while I was working that first year back at CCAC, came out of that. White Oak EMS hired me as a paramedic. 27 and a half years later, I'm here proudly as the chief for the last 21 years, actually, as the chief of the service.
And where was your medical training developed? Where did you get your paramedic and EMT training?
At CCAC on the north side.
Yeah. Explain to us a little bit the difference between, we hear these terms and we kind of use them interchangeably, and they're not, emergency medical technician versus paramedic.
Yeah, so an EMT, when they go to school, that's generally around 3 months to get your EMT certification. You're going to learn advanced first aid techniques. You're going to learn how to use that equipment that's on the ambulance. You're going to learn how to be a great paramedic assistant in that program. Paramedics, it's almost like being in a mini residency program. You either go to school for a year or two, and during that time, you know, the anatomy, the physiology classes, and then you come out of that, and then you have to do rounds, you have to do clinical time. So you have to do so many hours in the ER, so many hours in the ICU, so many hours in labor and delivery, so many hours in the operating room to learn how to intubate patients. So you really get a compressed doctor type centric program in a year or two, and then you go out and you take that into the field and apply those skills in the back of a moving ambulance or in a patient's home.
I can't remember if it was you or someone at one of the other neighboring agencies that said, you know, the modern advanced life support ambulance is basically a little mini emergency room on wheels, and you have to be prepared for some of the same situations that you would confront working in an emergency room.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every year it changes. You know, we have statewide protocols from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, and they're always putting out new medications we can use or new pieces of equipment that hit the market. Again, all designed to be able to help anybody that needs help to that level of training and care.
We have a break coming up in just a minute or two, but I want to get into this topic. Paul Falavolito is chief of White Oak EMS, WhiteOakEMS.com. It was National EMS Week from May 18th to May 24th, and that is personnel. We had Chief Dan Reuters from Munhall No. 4 Volunteer Fire Company on last week, along with Senator Nick Pisitano, and we were talking about the shortage of volunteer firefighters. Is that same shortage hitting the emergency medical services?
So I'll tell you, the staffing shortage, right? So first it started after COVID. Kind of one of the things that I wasn't expecting as we were planning for COVID, dealing with COVID and coming out of COVID during the recovery phase of that as an agency, was the number of people that came to me and said, I want to get out of I want to get out of EMS. I wasn't expecting that. And so when that happened, that really kind of knocked me back a step. Since then, we've had a lot of people that, because of COVID, said, I want to do more, I want to help, I want to get involved, either, the nursing path, the EMT path, or the paramedic path, or even the doctor path. And so we're fine right now with staffing. We're starting to see those numbers pick back up because those people that wanted to help more went to school. They've now graduated. That's provided a nice little influx of people back into our profession. So right now we're in a good spot with staffing.
But it seems like your agency and a lot of agencies around here are recruiting. There are always openings right now in the emergency medical services.
Yeah, they're always hiring. So it's an ongoing thing. Like I said, our numbers are good right now, but a year and a half ago, it was a totally different story. We had to get very creative with how we answered some of these calls, and that caused a lot of senior leadership to have to return to their roots of being providers, which again, it was great to be able to go out and do that, but now we make way for the people that are coming into the field that are new graduates that want to do this as a career.
Let's take a pause there. When we come back, let's talk about the funding issue because that is something that in all emergency responder services I know is a constant issue, but I think it is an especially acute crisis for emergency medical services. Okay?
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Paul Falavolito is our guest this morning. He's chief of White Oak EMS. We're talking about National EMS Week. We're talking about his agency. You can find out more about Paul by getting his podcast, the 7-Minute Leadership Podcast, on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts for your podcast app. He's also the author of 3 books on leadership, including lessons that he's learned through almost 3 decades now in the emergency medical services. When we took the break, we said a bad word, and that was money. I have heard horror stories from people, and I'll bet you have too, of people who were afraid to call the ambulance when they're having chest pains, when they have hurt themselves, when they are having an allergic reaction, and instead of calling the ambulance, they call Uber or Lyft. And I've heard that story both from the Uber and Lyft drivers, as well as from people who have done it. Have you heard those stories too? And what's your reaction as the chief of an emergency medical service?
Unfortunately, the number of people that we encounter that need to go to the hospital that resist because of the bill is staggering. The more classic, realistic thing that we see is we'll get to a patient's house and someone says, okay, I'll go to the hospital, but I'm going to wait for my mom to get off work and she'll take me, or I'm going to wait for the neighbor to take me. And it's truly one of my biggest pain points in this job that I see far too often and hear about from our crews far too often, because it just should not be that way. Money should never be a discussion point from the time that an EMS crew gets on scene until we drop them off. We shouldn't even be talking money with the patient in that moment. It shouldn't be a factor, in determining what type of care they get or what hospital they're going to go to. It should just never be a thing, because it should be 100% all about dealing with that patient and trying to help them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the funding situation, because I think there are probably two misconceptions that people have. The first is, you know, I have health insurance. I've got UPMC, Highmark, United Healthcare. Doesn't my health insurance pay if I call an ambulance?
Yeah, so I would say 10, 15 years ago, health insurance did a great job of covering 100% of the ambulance bill. And in the last decade, kind of the opposite has happened. They have lessened the amount of the reimbursement that they will cover while simultaneously raising the insurance rates for their customers. All of that is buried on the back of the policy in the small print that no one reads. And it turns into being the number one phone call that I get throughout the week are angry residents saying, why did I get a bill? I have insurance. And then I try to explain that to them. Now, we take it a step further. We offer an ambulance plan subscription that goes out, I believe, twice a year that tries to help offset the cost that the insurance company is sending to the customer saying, you know, we paid X amount. Now you have to pay the remaining amount. So we try to help offset that as best as we can and try to work with them as much as we can to limit their out-of-pocket expense. Because like I said, it's my biggest pain point. It leads me to make the statement that our healthcare system is so broken right now with this. It shouldn't be a factor when it comes to people picking up the phone and calling 911. It should just happen. Everybody should get made whole on the backside of it, you know, weeks or a month or so after the ambulance call. It should never trickle down to the patient to where it now causes them to have this level of anxiety and pain over a bill.
The second misconception that I think a lot of people have is that, well, the borough or the township or the city or the county, someone, some government agency pays for the ambulance. You know, the folks show up, they have a uniform, they show up at the same time as the police and the fire department. Doesn't the borough pay for it? Doesn't the city or the township pay for it?
Yeah. So I can tell you we're very lucky. We're very blessed in White Oak. Let me go back a step here. 2 weeks ago, I attended the EMS day at the state capitol in Harrisburg. With about 50 other agencies across the Commonwealth with a lot of elected officials trying to get support for something called House Bill 1152, which is going to help with the reimbursement for EMS agencies. The fact is, in the last 28 months, 52 ambulance services in the state of Pennsylvania have gone out of business.
52? There's only 67 counties, and so almost one for every county in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so it's a really alarming number. That's why we're trying to make as much noise as we can about this. While we were there, the Ambulance Association of Pennsylvania, which is truly our voice in the state for advocating to help fix a lot of this stuff, they put out a staggering report. Only 28% of the municipalities in Pennsylvania provide some level of financial assistance to the local ambulance service. And like I started off by saying, we're very lucky, we're very thankful, we're very blessed that White Oak Borough is one of those 28 municipalities that provides some level of funding to us to help sustain our operation.
It flipped that on its head. So if 28% of the boroughs and townships and cities in Pennsylvania are supporting their local emergency medical provider, that means the flip side is 72%. So if you're listening to this and you live in the state of Pennsylvania, there's basically a 7 out of 10 chance that your local borough or township is not supporting the emergency medical agency at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think there are some for-profit companies that provide ambulance services, but at least in the Mon Valley area or southeastern Allegheny County, I think most of the agencies are nonprofit tax exempt.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest percentage of EMS agencies are nonprofits.
So when you get that pledge card in the mail from whomever, Baldwin, EMS, MRSA, Elizabeth Township, Southeast Regional, White Oak EMS, McKeesport Ambulance Rescue Service, whoever your local provider is, what does that pledge card do if I send that pledge card back in with a donation?
Yeah, Yeah, so the money, you know, is used 100% for the operational expenditures of the organization, really collectively to help ensure the longevity of the EMS service. And like I said, whenever we, you know, do get a resident that calls to say, hey, you know, why did I get this bill? If they're a member, like I said, we really try to work with them to help limit their out-of-pocket expense. So, you know, a lot of the money that we get, a lot of the grants that we get, any of the creative funding that we do, you know, all goes into sustaining the local ambulance service for any number of things, for staffing, for vehicle issues. You know, like I said, trying to help limit the out-of-pocket expense for the residents.
The subscription card, if you are a subscriber to an ambulance service, and I know you can only speak for your agency, not for others, does that mean I won't get a bill if I'm a member?
No, it doesn't mean that at all.
Okay.
And again, there used to be a time, like I said earlier,
10 or 15 years ago.
10, 15 years ago, when insurance companies did a great job of covering 100% of the bill. That's no longer the case. You know, they really, the commercial insurance companies did a great job, and I'm saying that sarcastically,
of put the quote marks around that, right?
Yeah, of dwindling down,
yeah,
a broad umbrella of things that they will cover 100%. So something that they covered 100% a decade ago, they may only cover 50% today. So anybody that's listening, that's, you know, getting ready to, you know, as we get, I know for us, it happens in the fall. When it comes time to renew health insurance, you really got to get on the phone with your broker and say, I need to specifically know, what are you covering 100%? What are you covering at 75%? What are you covering at 50%? So that people know, because like I said, people just, you know, auto pay their insurance renewals and don't ever think twice about it. And they're not realizing that the insurance companies, while they're jacking up your rates, are lessening the coverage that you're getting as a customer. And again, I'm going to say it, shouldn't be that way, shouldn't happen in this country. That's the reality of what's happening in this country. It's been happening for over a decade, and it's horrible, because just, you know, money just should not be a factor when it comes to people needing an ambulance and needing life-saving technicians that can help them, medications that can help them, transportation to a hospital that can help them. None of that should be hindered or burdened by money.
Let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to talk about some more positive things, including your leadership podcast. And we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com. Or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a final few minutes with Paul Falavolito, Chief of White Oak EMS. And we're talking about National EMS Week, which was May 18th to May 24th. Also talking about his agency. And we're going to talk about his leadership podcast in just a moment. I didn't want to leave the last conversation from the last segment without saying, and this is an editorial comment by me, I guess, after you've heard this horror story that, oh, I might get a bill from the ambulance, it is probably still not a good idea to be thinking, well, maybe I'll call mom, maybe I'll call Uber, maybe I'll call Lyft rather than 911. If you need an ambulance ride, Chief, I'm guessing you need to go in the ambulance and
Absolutely.
Worry about the money later on.
100%. Yeah. Because again, mom,
it's easy for me to, that's easy for me to say, but worry about the money later on.
Right. But mom, Uber, and Lyft, they're not going to have an oxygen tank to help you with your breathing problem. They're not going to have the medication. They're not going to have the heart monitor. They're not going to take your blood pressure. They're not going to do all those things.
They're
going
to have a stop the bleed kit. If you've fallen through, you know, it's summertime and you were going out to catch that pass and you went through the plate glass window or you went through the storm window, they're not going to have the stop the bleed kit to get you to the ambulance or to get you to the emergency room safely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about the leadership podcast. 9 years now you've been doing the 7-Minute Leadership Podcast. What was the impetus for that?
So when I became EMS chief 21 years ago, and again, it's a moment I'll never forget when our board of directors came to me and said, we need you to be the EMS chief. And I said, okay, cool. What does that mean? Because there's no such thing as EMS chief school to go to. So I spent probably the first few years in the role, going to a lot of trade shows, going to a lot of conferences, taking a lot of classes on management. And I think that the lessons that I learned trying to figure it out on my own led me to truly think and believe that everybody in public safety, police, fire, EMS, they're all great managers of things. They're great managers of their equipment, their vehicles. They're great managers of their patients. They're great managers of going to a big accident scene or a fire scene or something like that. However, leadership is about people. And that's really what spoke to me the most, was being able to be a good people person, being good to my staff, trying to be good to the public. And that leadership path set me up for creating internal leadership programs for White Oak EMS. That blossomed and then turned into a, well, what happens if I record some of these lessons and just put them out there to the internet? Now here we are, 340 some episodes later, 9 years later, 127 countries later, half a million subscribers later. You know, people really kind of enjoying my perspective on it from the EMS side, and the way that I bend and twist some of the stories to make a point led to, you know, 3 leadership books and this podcast, and it's been absolutely one of the coolest experiences in my life to do this.
Now, in the final 60 seconds or so that we have, now that we've told people all the challenges that EMS agencies face and folks working in emergency medical services face, you know, there's a kid out there, or the parent or grandparent who has a daughter, son, who watches Chicago 911, or I always reference Emergency because that was what was in reruns when I was a kid. That shows how old my references are. But, you know, I want to be DeSoto Engage. I want to be on an ambulance. I want to be helping people. What's a career path for them if they think they're interested in healthcare and specifically in emergency medical services? Where should they start out looking?
Contact your local EMS agency and ask them if they do a ride-along program. Most of them do. That'll get you 1 to 3 ride-along opportunities to see truly what it's like to be an EMS provider and see if it's something that you truly want to do. If the answer to that is yes, any number of places offer EMT training. And again, you can get that as little as 3 months and get your EMT certification. And again, there's no shortage of places that are looking to hire EMTs today.
And you did your emergency medical training at community college, which I'm assuming is also a very cost-effective way for someone to get that training as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of EMS agencies in Western Pennsylvania that meet the criteria to be a nationally recognized training facility, you can reach out to them and you can go there and take the class as well.
May 18th to the 24th is National EMS Week. If you're hearing this, thank your local emergency medical services agency for their help. Paul Falavolito has been our guest. He's chief of White Oak EMS and deputy emergency management coordinator in the borough. He's the host of the 7-Minute Leadership Podcast and the author of 3 books on leadership that you can get from Amazon or other online booksellers. Chief, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you for remembering us during EMS week. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'll be happy to come back anytime you'll have me.
Hopefully it won't be in the next 10 minutes. And thank you all for listening this week. We had to retape this program is why I said that. And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link.
You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.